Blog Talk Radio. Police in the UK free 19 women who were forced to work as prostitutes. Nigerian officials save more than 100 children from traffickers. And in China, officers rescue 53 baby boys who were due to be sold by a trafficking ring.
Human trafficking affects every country in the world. But by joining forces, we can fight this crime. Support the United Nations Global Initiative to Fight Human Trafficking. UNGIFT.org.
Good morning and welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host and I want to thank you for listening. I just finished speaking with singer Diane Reeves and you can check out her website, DianeReeves.com. Her first name is spelled with two N's if you didn't know. And I'll be giving away a free CD, a couple of her CDs actually. If you can email me when her album A Little Moonlight came out. What year did her album A Little Moonlight come out? And that's you'll be able to receive a free copy of her newest album, When You Know. But right now I'm going to be talking about a more serious issue, human trafficking. When you think about that, you probably think about something outside of the United States, you know, Asia, maybe Africa, Eastern European or something like that. But human trafficking is happening right here in our backyard in the United States, and today I'm going to be speaking with a couple of guests about what's going on nationally and internationally. On the line right now, I believe I have Hugh Organ. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joy.
Hi, thank you so much for joining the call.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I know you're one of the head of the Philadelphia Anti-Trafficking Coalition, yes?
Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to bring in another one of our callers here. This is Margot Hirsch. She's from New York. Margot, is this you?
Yes, it is. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for joining the call.
My pleasure.
These are two wonderful people doing great work around the country. Hugh is here in Philadelphia. He was born and raised in Philadelphia, and he works with Covenant House here. You're a program associate executive director at Covenant House, and also you're, again, the lead of Philadelphia Anti-Trafficking Coalition. Good morning again, Hugh.
Good morning.
Also, I want to introduce the listeners to Margot Hirsch. She's an attorney in New York and also working in New Jersey. She's the executive director of the Empire State Coalition of Youth and Family Services, and that's a consortium of organizations and individuals working on behalf of runaways, homeless, and street youth and their families. Good morning, Margot.
Good morning.
I'm going to reach out to one other caller. This is a director of a movie called Sex Slaves. She's in Canada. And hopefully I can get all of you together. I want to start off with you. You were working with Senator Leach on a bill, Senate Bill 1227, that's dealing with the Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline. Tell the audience a little bit about that.
Yes, Senator Leach has been doing a fantastic job sponsoring this bill. Basically, what we're trying to do is get the hotline posted across the states in places like where victims could possibly be, bars, truck stops, things like that, as well as motels and things like that, to raise awareness and to help people be aware that there is a hotline they can call if they have information, and that's the National Human Trafficking Hotline. And it's 1-888-3737-888. And hopefully that bill will pass, and Senator Leach has done a fantastic job with his leadership on that bill.
Well, I think that's a wonderful job. And as I was mentioning earlier to the audience, it's not just something that's happening internationally. People just really aren't aware that it's happening in our backyards. I'm going to try to reach out now to Rick Binstock. She's in Canada. So just give me one second here. And I want to add her. One of the things that is amazing to me is how easily people are sucked in. Margot, in your experience working with runaways, tell us some of the stories you might have heard about how people were sucked into the trafficking and things of that nature.
Well, I think for young people who have no means of supporting themselves, who are on the streets because of something that has happened in their lives, whether it's abuse or severe neglect or, you know, loss of parents, they end up on the streets. They could be easily be befriended by somebody who at first seems to have their best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that does not turn out to be the case. I think for young people it's very challenging because there is a relationship that can develop between the exploiter and the young person before the exploitation takes place. So that relationship becomes very complicated. And you know, it's not as simple as criminal versus victim, you know, because there is this deep relationship that can sometimes form. I'm sure that Covenant House has seen that as well. I mean, one of the agencies we obviously work with here in New York is Covenant House. So anytime a young person is on the streets, and the longer they're on the streets, the more vulnerable they become.
I want to try to reach out to Bien now and see if I can. Rick, and she's a filmmaker in Canada, as I was mentioning. Just give us a second here.
Hello?
Hi, good morning, Rick.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, this is Joy from the podcast. We're on the air right now.
Oh, hi, Joy. Good to be on the air.
Thank you so much. I just want to let the audience know this is a wonderful filmmaker, a very brave filmmaker. She's one of the leading documentary filmmakers in Canada. She's been producing and directing a diverse amount of films over 15 years. Her recent film, Sex Slaves, won a U.S. Emmy for Outstanding Investigative Journalism, the Edward R. Murrow Award for the Overseas Press Club of America, the 2006 British Broadcast Award for Best Documentary, and I can go on. Some of her other films include The Lost Tombs of Jesus, The Impact of Terror, The Money Shot, Ebola, many different things she's worked on, and I just want to thank you so much for joining the call this morning, Rick.
Thank you so much.
Now, how was that? What did it take for you to go out and venture into studying sex slaves? I mean, what came? Why did you decide to do that, and what gave you the courage to do that?
Well, it's actually quite an interesting story, because I was doing a series with Penn and Teller, who some of your listeners may know. They're they're based out of Vegas, and they're magicians and comedians and really brilliant performers. And we were doing a documentary on the roots of magic, and we were shooting in China, India, and Egypt, and in rural China. We stayed at this hotel, and only to discover, by mistake actually, that it was a brothel. And in the basement of this,
whoa, wait a second, say that again. You were at a brothel and you didn't even know it?
Well, when you think of a brothel, you think of a dark, seedy place. But in fact, this was a hotel that seemed like a modern Holiday Inn, something like that. And however, it was obviously serving the local government officials and the local police force, actually. And in the basement was a discotheque, and in the discotheque were a sea of prostitutes. And amongst them, we saw two blonde women. And they, of course, they weren't Asian. They were not Chinese. They stood out. And we went to talk to them, and they were Russian. And they had been duped by a Russian-speaking Chinese pimp to come to China under the pretense of working as domestics at hotels, cleaning hotels. And they were your classic case of trafficked women. Now, we were in the middle of another show, but we were all completely floored, my producer and I, floored by this. And when we and their stories basically continued to haunt us, and we came back to Canada and said, let's look into what this trafficking, could it be true? Could this really be happening? And we learned that it really is. And that's what kind of was the seed of the idea to make the documentary.
Now, Hugh, I just want to bring Hugh back into the conversation. Hugh, again, is the head of the Philadelphia Anti-Trafficking Coalition. President Obama made January National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month. What do you think about that? Is that a step in the right direction, or is that just he's talking and not really doing anything? Hugh, what's your opinion about that?
I think that's fantastic. The more people that are aware, because I think, again, the issue is at this point making people aware that human trafficking is going on, because a lot of times it's going on right under your nose and you're not even aware that it's going on. Here in Philadelphia, it goes on a regular basis. There are young ladies who at any point in time on the certain streets in Philadelphia that are being actively prostituted. These are American citizens. This stuff is going on, and people see it every day and either aren't aware of what's going on or just ignoring it, one or the other. I choose to believe that I think people are not aware that this is going on. So having a whole month dedicated to raising awareness and prevention of human trafficking, I think is fantastic.
Yeah, I think people really aren't aware that it's going on. I connected with Hugh, Sarah, a young woman named Sarah, Family Planning Council connected me with Hugh, and she told me a crazy story where a Comcast, I think it was a Comcast cable person, had went into a store to do some work, and they just thought something was suspicious going on there. Come to find out, the store had built a wall, and behind the wall, there were beds of women sleeping behind the wall. I mean, this. Somebody want to comment? Margo, what's your opinion?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's important to understand that domestic and international trafficking can look very different, and often what happens is that young people in this country are not seen as victims. They're seen as criminals, and I think we've got to change that perception. And I think a lot of what we see is not so much that brothel-type institution, although that certainly could be happening in massage parlors, but there's a lot of internet activity, Craigslist activity, sort of under-the-wire activity that is in some ways harder to get to because there's no place, you know, that you can enter.
Right. You can track, but you can't really track. I mean, Craigslist has gotten a lot of flack for their work and activity. I want to bring Rick. One of the things in your movie that was really astonishing to me is the dancer, the exotic dancer law that was it's no longer, but it was in Canada. Tell the audience about that law that was going on and allowed it actually supported the trafficking business.
Right. Well, I mean, Canada was inadvertently supporting it. I don't think there was their intention, but it shows you in a way the naivety of government policy because. Just like I think many countries, like the United States, Canada, if you want to immigrate and work in Canada, if there's a shortage of IT workers, then if you want to immigrate here from a country and you're an IT worker, you can apply for a visa as an IT worker because Canada has that shortage. Well, some lobbying group managed to convince the Canadian government that there was a shortage of strippers, burlesque dancers is what they were called. So, which is in and of itself a ridiculous notion. It's basically, I mean, what we believe the problem is that Canadian strippers just wouldn't do what they were able to do with women they were bringing in from overseas who didn't speak the language. But basically there was so a lot of women were brought into Canada under this visa program. So a lot of owners of strip clubs and people who worked in the adult industries were going and mining groups in Romania mostly, but in other countries, and bringing these women in. So where some of the women knew exactly what they were doing and were sending money home, many of the women were completely duped because they were signing contracts in English. They didn't speak English. And in fact, there was a woman in the film, a woman who was from Hungary who came here not understanding that she was going to be stripping. She thought she was going to be working at someone's house. So, you know, I mean, that visa program was immediately stopped the minute it was made public and people realized how ludicrous it was. But it was certainly feeding the industry.
Hugh, just coming back to America now, in Long Island, they were finding a lot of activity out there. Are you familiar with that situation? A couple was arrested. They were holding two Indonesian, I think, women as the domestic workers, but they were basically prisoners.
That's the problem. The sex side of human trafficking gets a lot of attention, too, but there's also the domestic side as far as servitude and labor exploitation as well, and whether it's in factories or nannies and maids at some point in time. There have been cases where nannies and maids have been victims of human trafficking as well. And again, a part of it is getting the awareness out there to everyone because you may run into these people into the supermarket and may not even be aware, whereas, you know, U.S. citizens tend to have more free access. Well, I wouldn't say free access, but they're more easily approachable. Like here in Philadelphia, you can approach some of the young ladies on the street who may be engaged in prostitution, and what people aren't aware is the pimp is not too far away watching. Whereas when you're dealing with the international side of this, there's much more of a control element. There's no girl to approach on the street when you're dealing with the international, at least here in Philadelphia. It's been our experience more so that when we're dealing with the international side, it's much more of a controlled environment in the brothels, the massage parlors, and things like that. So you have to take a different approach when we're trying to reach out to international victims as well.
Now, Margo, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say the other thing that we found is so many of these victims of trafficking internationally are so frightened by the fact that they're here and as illegal immigrants in whatever country they're in. And that's been drummed into them, that they're illegal, that they're doing something illegal. So I know that the RCMP in Canada have found that even if they would raid a brothel or a strip club or a massage parlor and they would suggest to the women that have you been trafficked, that the women would not admit to doing it because they've been frightened by the people who brought them here. So there's a lot of education that has to happen around law enforcement so they're sensitive to the nuances of what, you know, what makes some, you know, how do you identify someone who is trafficked? Because they often won't admit to that fact.
Well, let me just mention the National Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline. The number is 1-888-3737-888. Again, that's 1-888-3737-888. And that the website, I'll post that on my blog page and also on the fan page. This is for people who have tips, people who are in the middle of a situation that they think they can try to get out. Now, as an attorney, Margo, what defense do people have? What if somebody is caught a trafficking? How long will they go to jail? Do they have to pay a fine? You know, how does the government here help the person?
A trafficker or
a trafficker.
It depends. I mean, you can get, you know, depends on how many counts and everything. There are situations where there's, you know, 60, 75 year sentences. So both the federal government and many state governments who have their own trafficking laws take this very seriously now. And there are bureaus within, you know, both state police as well as, you know, in federal government that have, you know, trafficking bureaus. So I think we're coming to the point where we are taking it much more seriously. And I think that Joy raises a good point because a lot of times people are involved in illegal activity when they're being trafficked. And so there is that fear factor as well. And it takes a long time to get a person to the point where they're able to work with the police, with law enforcement on the federal level, Homeland Security or ICE, to actually talk about what has happened to them. They're also fearful of what's going to happen to their families internationally. Many
That's important, the family aspect. Rick, in your movie, Sex Slaves, you had a young man who was trying to find his wife, and you really helped him a lot. But unfortunately, the police in Turkey, they didn't want to help you, and they actually turned on him. And one of the scenes, the trafficker is telling him that the police came and told her who he was, what he was about, and everything. So the police were actually against the citizen who was trying to get his wife back.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Ukraine is a particularly corrupt country, and in Turkey is not all corrupt across the board, but there is some corruption, and there's a lot of mistrust, and a lot of the local police also imply that the women know very well what they're going for, and let's not be fooled by this. So it's just complicated. Now, that's not to say that everybody in these countries is corrupt. There's certainly, we've worked with NGOs and law enforcement that are really trying to nip it in the bud and stop this problem, but there's constantly women who are vulnerable to being trafficked because they're so desperate for work. So they're always open to a job offer of work overseas, and sometimes that work is legitimate work. More often than not, it's not, but sometimes it is. And so women who come back, who send money home, they're constantly serving as examples of success stories of people who go overseas, and that in turn kind of encourages more young women to take a chance and go, you know, to Turkey. I mean, we filmed in Turkey and Ukraine because it's a very easy, you can get a Turkish visa at the border in Turkey, so it's very easy to bring women into Turkey. There's less and less women as you go through Europe, and certainly in North America, United States, it's just tougher to bring these women in because you need to get visas. So it's not going to be as prevalent, but also I'm sure that in the United States there's a domestic trafficking problem.
Well,
as there is in Canada.
Right, and Hugh and I, we just mentioned about the domestic workers in Long Island. Now, Hugh, if someone is in a situation, what do you tell them? Someone's listening right now. They could be listening to the radio, listening to the show. This show is heard nationally and internationally. I've had listeners from Europe and Africa and Canada as well. And so what do you tell the person who's in the situation? Where can they go? What do they do? How do they get out without being killed or maybe their family being hurt? What's your suggestion, Hugh?
Yeah, a big part of it is knowing the resources in your area. I know for us, for example, anytime we approach a young lady, we always have a strategy in mind. One of the strategies, for example, that we use is our hotline. A hotline's operated that the kids can call because at that moment, maybe it's the chance they have where they're allowed to go use the restroom where they can make a phone call. Having a hotline is a tremendous thing where they can call free and talk to someone to get help and get out of that situation. So Coven House, they operate the 9 line, which has been an extremely helpful a tool to have, as well as the human trafficking hotline here in the States. That's been a nice tool to have as well, where they can call and get assistance. And that's...
Hugh, you know, tell them the number. Tell them the number that they can call here in Philadelphia.
For the hotline, or for the 9 line is 1-800-999-9999, and that's through Coven House. They can call that anywhere in the country. That's a 9 line for Coven House. And for example, we'll go get a kid. We do street outreach 5 nights a week. My staff are on call, so if a kid calls us and says, I'm at such and such place, I need to come off the street, I'm in this bad situation, we'll come get you. We operate a shelter in Philadelphia, and we can bring the kids directly into our shelter. The nice thing about having Coven Houses throughout the country is that if a kid is not safe here in Philadelphia, for example, we may be able to send them.
You can transfer them out.
Programs, yeah.
Margo, tell us a little bit about what's going on in New York. We have about 6 minutes left. I want you to just highlight some of the things your organization is doing there in New York.
Well, we're working with a couple of organizations that have actually provided services uniquely to sexually exploited young people, shelter, street outreach, and drop-in services. And that's really critical because I think the first thing you want to do is make the young person feel safe, and then you can deal with getting them involved with the police at whatever point. So, for example, GEMS, which also did a movie, I don't know if you've seen, Very Young Girls, about their work. So GEMS works exclusively with sexually exploited young people. Those young people, the average age when they get involved with being sexually trafficked is age 13, so that's pretty alarming.
Wow. I have a daughter who's 16. I have a daughter who's 16, and when I was watching, also, you know, the movie Taken had come out, and that really shook a lot of people up because a lot of kids go overseas, they want to study and do things, and that kind of put a little bit of fear. Have you guys seen that movie Taken? Rick, have you seen that movie?
I have not seen that movie. But it's interesting that I have received a lot of emails from people who have seen sex slaves and have asked my advice because their daughters or children are planning to travel. So it's definitely real, the fear.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Margo. Go ahead. Continue. You were just saying we got a couple minutes left.
Street Work Project also in New York has a trafficking project that works with both labor, because we mentioned labor, although a lot of the concentration is on sex trafficking, works with both victims of labor and sex trafficking. Also, I think it's important to remember it's not just girls who are sexually trafficked.
It's boys also, yes.
We concentrate a lot on the girls, but we can't forget about the boys, because that young man out there on the streets, if we're not asking the right questions, we're not offering him the right protection. Polaris Project is also a national project. I'm not sure if they are the ones that
I put
the
their website on there.
But
they offer great
resources. And I think the first thing is to get involved in services, and then once that young person is ready to make the next step, so that we can put the bad actors behind bars for a long period of time. But it's not going to happen until that young person feels safe and able to, you know, have not only themselves protected, but their families protected.
Yes. Now, Rick, what was the most astonishing thing that you came upon in doing your movie? What really touched your heart out of that experience?
Oh, wow. I it's hard to pick one thing, but I have to say this. I mean, there were a lot of very radical scenes. I mean, we did go undercover and saw a woman selling a woman to someone in Turkey, but One of the scenes that literally made me and the entire crew cry was when a sister of one of the women who had been trafficked and then subsequently escaped after 8 months, a very brutal trafficking experience. Her sister wanted to go to Turkey to work as a domestic, and she was pleading with her sister not to go and saying, can't you see what happened to me? I was sold from pimp to pimp. I mean, how could you do this? And the sister was saying, well, it's not all negative. Some people have success stories. And the sister was desperate to make money. And it was just that moment, I mean, just witnessing it, and they both started crying. And I'm telling you, the entire crew had tears in their eyes because we're looking and going, how desperate do you have to be to see somebody so close to you having been through such a horror, a horrific nightmare, and yet still be willing to take the risk? And it makes you really understand the depth of the desperation of people in these countries where they have an inability to make any money.
I think that's one of the key factors there, and that's why they're so vulnerable. And even here in the United States, again, I want to emphasize that this is happening here in the United States as well. And it's, we mentioned, it's not just sex; it can be domestic work. If you're visiting someplace, you were yourself, Rick, or in a hotel, and it become a brothel. So it's not this dark, seedy place all the time. Also, remember, if you're listening, that men are also, boys are brought into trafficking. So don't just think that it's women. I'll be putting the websites, Polaris Project, on my website, and also the different phone numbers that were mentioned. But I want to thank all of you. Hugh Organ, the head of the Philadelphia Anti-Trafficking, Margot Hirsch, executive director out in New York of the organization there, doing wonderful work. And Rick, tell me how to pronounce your last name. Bienstock?
It's Bienstock, yes.
Okay, good. She's a beautiful, wonderful filmmaker, very courageous filmmaker, doing a lot of different documentaries. And please check out her documentary, which was featured on PBS Frontline. I think that was Frontline, right?
Correct. That is right.
Yes. The sex place. We don't have much time, so I just want to thank all of you this morning for your knowledge, and please continue the work that you're doing, the advocacy work to help these young men and women out of this situation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much
for having me.
You too. Have a beautiful Saturday, everybody.
Okay, bye-bye.
I want to thank all the listeners for listening this morning to the show. This is just a really sensitive subject for me because I'm a mom and I have a daughter, and she does want to go overseas and do things. But I think just be there for your kids and support them and listen to them. And if you're in the neighborhood, and keep your eyes open. There might be a child, a boy or girl out there that needs your help. So please keep your eyes open to what's going on around you in the community. I will not be having a show next Saturday, but the following Saturday I'll be speaking with life coach Stephen Barnes. So please follow me on twitter.com/joykeys and check us out on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Have a wonderful day.